this up, or I'll be tripping on it. There we go. Okay, let's ask God to help us. Father, we thank you that you are so kind to us, and as we thought earlier, we just thank you for a warm building on a cold night. Thank you for cars that run, and we just thank you for your provision in so many, many ways. A lot of times we just ignore it, or we miss it, or we forget it. Thank you that you care for us so abundantly. And we thank you, most of all, for our salvation in Christ. This world is not going to be here for long, it seems, and we thank you that we know where our home is, and we know it's secure. We thank you for our loving, overwhelming Savior. So may we honor him tonight as we spend these moments together. Guide us by your Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Jack and Bev and I were talking just a little bit before we started, and they found themselves, and I'm sure we've all found ourselves in something like this. They were going by their GPS, and it said turn down here, and it ended up being an old logging road, right? So I remember one time we were supposed to go to a wedding, and we were trying to get there, and we had a GPS again, and it kept turning us down, and if we would went far enough, we would have been in the harbor of where we were at. So, you know, the thing is, and we were talking about the value of a map for, you know, none of us would, for the most part, I don't think, would just start out and say, well, I'm just going to go wherever the road goes. I'm, you know, not thinking about a map, not even thinking about a GPS. I'm just going to go wherever I want. You know, sometimes I'm going in backcountry and I think, I wonder where that road leads. You know, you ever had that temptation? And I'm thinking, I don't have time to find out where that road leads. But none of us just would meander, wander, at least indefinitely. You know, if you had, you know, a couple of extra minutes or an hour, you might do that. But none of us want to just say, well, I'm just going to see where Canada Road takes me. But you know, what I was thinking about, in our culture, really, a lot of people, that's the way they're going through life. It's just like, well, we'll try this road. And they have no map, no spiritual map. They don't know the destination where they really want to go. And it's created all kinds of havoc in so many lives. And we just think, oh God. But I want to come back to this passage. We were there several weeks back on a Sunday, and I want to come back to it. And I want us to ponder this, why it's important to know where we're going and why. And so when we get there, we'll be thankful we took the road and were involved in the things we were involved in, that we had the right priorities for the right path. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5. We were there two Sundays ago, and I want to go to verse 9, and then I want to read verse 10. We dealt with these passages, but obviously they're connected. And I think as we enter into a new year, and I think the Lord's has been nudging me to really pay attention to my choices, my decisions, and it ponder. Before I read this, my brother, I called my brother this week, and you know, he loves the Lord, and he's my only sibling, and so we have, thank the Lord, we have a great relationship, and so we can just talk. But we were talking. I said, now when did Dad die? And so that sounds very morbid, right? But we're just talking about history and family. And so really, if it was just in he died, it would just be about 2 years from where I'm at right now. And so we were thinking, well, you know, he said, it depends what side of your family you're on. If we have more moms, they live for, it seemed like forever. But Dad's side, his family didn't live quite so long, most of them. So what that did for me was reminded me, you know what, I need to make the most of my moments, because I don't know how many moments I have. I don't know how many minutes I have. I don't know how many hours I have. And it just kind of challenged me again to make the most of my time. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, or your version may say aim, whether at home or absent. And we've talked about really what it's talking about, whether I'm in this body or whether I'm with the Lord, absent from the body, to be pleasing to Him, to have a passion to please Him. And the reason, for we must all, and we talked about that, but none of us are excluded from this. And notice it's not optional. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, or given back what is due, recompense for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, the passage, you know, is talking about having a passion, a pursuit to please Christ, to please him, to please him. Our ambition, our aim, our passion, our purpose is to please him. The reason it's so critical, this is why it's so critical. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we said this is not the great white throne where unbelievers will be. This is the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. That's used that way, and it was used in Corinth, of where judgments were made in the city. And those officials would stand on this platform and they would make evaluations for the citizens of that city. And so that picture is used of Christ making his final evaluations of our lives according to what we have done, whether good or bad. Now, remember, I'm so far behind in present culture lingo. Songs, I just gave up and I'm happy. But anyway, I know it's, remember a while back, maybe some years now, it kind of was like, he's going through, somebody had asked somebody a question, like maybe a high school kid or a college kid, and say, whatever. You remember that? Whatever. In other words, I don't care. Whatever. You know, a lot of people live whatever life. And you think, that is sure making poor, you know, you have no basis for making good choices. You know, some people, the best thing they think is, well, I want to get a good education. Okay, I want to get a good job. Okay, I don't have anything against that. But is that all there is? I mean, obviously a good job is a great thing. God doesn't minimize that. But whatever you do you work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. And so how you do your job is critical for how you'll be rewarded as a Christian. So I want to talk about this good or bad, because one of the reasons, and I want to just look at these little phrases. We never had a chance on that day to deal with these. And I want to come back to these. Whether good or bad, whether good, in other words, work that is good. This relates back, if we're going to look at a related passage, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 12, and we just see the relationship of connection here between the judgment seat of Christ and rewards. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, in other words, he invests his life wisely, okay? He invests wisely. Gold, silver, precious stones. It's not so much that we have gold, but the way we invest our life in our priorities. Or wood, hay, and straw. Now, probably a real picture of that, if you've seen any of the terrible fires in Australia. And, I haven't followed it closely, but I saw one of these sites where the fire had been so, just an inferno. And it looked like granaries and all kinds of metal had just melted. Just horrific. And just think of how terrible and life-changing for these poor people in Australia. That's a picture and stuff of wood, hay, and straw that is a picture of living a life that was careless, foolish, and made poor choices. And it just, at the judgment seat of Christ, it just burns up. It's just like Australia, I mean, in a picture. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire. And fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Each man's work. So what we do counts. What we do counts. If any man's work, which he has built on it, remains, he will receive a reward. It's interesting. In some sectors of Christianity, there's been a real minimizing of reward. And I think, you know, I've heard some people say, well, that's selfish to think of rewards. Well, my response to that, first of all, God teaches reward. So there's something valuable about rewards. But the other thing, if we are rewarded, who gets the credit for that? The Lord Jesus gets credit for that. The more we are rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ, the more glory is brought back to the Lord. Because ultimately, if we have done something that is of gold, precious metals, so something that's valuable, it's because he was working in us and through us. So he gets the credit for that. But we, you know, God in his relational way with us, he wants to reward us. He wants to. He loves us. He loves his kids. I mean, you think of, we were talking about grandkids just a little bit ago, and Bevan, and, you know, don't you enjoy giving something? If it's a little grandchild or kid, then, you know, if you love them, you enjoy giving something to them. And then if they get this smile on their face, you know, you love that. That's a treat, not only for them, but for you. Well, God, in his love for us, wants to reward us. So we don't want to minimize rewards. In fact, it should motivate us. That's part of the reason it's given, is to motivate us to do what God wants us to do the important things of life, the things that are eternal in value. So this is not something that God is minimizing. He's trying to teach us on this so that we take it seriously. Now, I'm going to read a passage, and I referred to part of the concept of this, but this is Matthew 5:11, Matthew 5, and it says this, and this is in the context of persecution. Now, if you saw, no, I just saw it this week, the Christians in China are facing more persecution. The Christians in Russia are facing more persecution. So these huge nations already have been very, very restrictive, but now they're beginning to be more and more aggressive in their persecution. So, you know, we could easily ask the question, is it worth being a Christian if you're facing persecution? Now, I was thinking about that as we sang the song, Dar, that you had faith of our fathers. You know what? I hadn't paid much attention to those words. I mean, I've sang that 100 times, I'm sure. That talks about suffering, faith of our fathers. It wasn't just, well, they had an easy road. They were imprisoned. And I don't know the history of that song. I was going back, I ought to check that out. The history of it, when it was written, who it was written by, what their thoughts were, who was being persecuted that song was related to. But this puts perspective on our brothers and sisters, and maybe on for us, in the days to come. Matthew 5:11-12. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. now because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Now that sounds so strange. What are you, masochistic? Why would you rejoice and be glad? For, this is the reason, for your reward in heaven is great. Isn't that interesting? Not just you'll be rewarded, but it will be great. So you think of these dear Christians, some of them, remember the Christians that just, a month ago maybe, or maybe a little less, that were beheaded by ISIS. Your reward in heaven is great. Great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, now again, we don't relish in persecution. But for those who stand for the Lord Jesus in the midst of agony and persecution and problems, the reward will be worth it. It'll be worth it. And so we need to remember that when life's not fun and it's not easy and it's harder to be a Christian than it used to be. You know, I said this so many times, but, you know, I just thank the Lord for the privilege that I had of being raised on a little farm in the middle of nowhere and having parents who love Christ and love me. But, you know, persecution was not really an issue. It might have been from your classmate who made fun of you. Some of my classmates made fun of my dad because he was a Sunday school teacher and they didn't want anything to do with Christianity, even as kids, little boys. But that's not much persecution. It was a pretty easy, you know, pretty easy path. But it may change. And I'm thinking, if we live long enough, it's going to change. And we've already seen a lot of signs that it is, you know, things are shifting. It's like being in those earthquakes in Puerto Rico. You know, things are shifting. But the reward is steady. Now, one says this. The rewards themselves vary in proportion to the faithfulness and diligence of each individual. Faithfulness is a key. We've said this on a variety of occasions. Matthew 25:21, and I read this and it will just resonate almost immediately. His master said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful slave or servant," depending on your version. "You were faithful with a few things." You know, I just think that's interesting. You were faithful with a few things. You know, most of us, I was talking to a friend of mine just yesterday, most of us do not have a high-profile kind of a ministry or even a high-profile, you know, everybody knows us in Canada. Everybody, most people don't even know us in Peterborough, right? But faithful, doing what God wants to do, where he has us in a few things, "I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Isn't that great? God has, you know, that's part of eternity there's going to be things, both in the millennial and moving into eternity, there's going to be responsibilities and privileges. That it's going to be a privilege to do these things. And we don't know all that's involved in them, but it's going to be an awesome privilege. And so when we're, you know, doing whatever God has for us in the future, if we were faithful in the present, we will be so thankful for what we are able to do in the future. And so he's trying to motivate us. Don't slag. Don't get lost on the wrong road. You know, stay in tune with me and stay in step with my word. So let's look at the negative part in our little verse back in 2 Corinthians 5. And we read these words, "Whether good or bad." Now, this is the idea, again, as we're connecting it back to 1 Corinthians 3:15. "If any man's work," and we read the first part of it, "but if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss." Now, of course, we know he's not going to lose his salvation. I'm so thankful for this next phrase, "but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." He will lose. Suffer. An illustration was given, James Dobson, who obviously the founder of Focus on the Family. And I read this quote. "In college, James Dobson's goal was to become the school's tennis champion. He felt proud when his trophy was prominently placed in the school's trophy cabinet. I mean, remember that, those days you walk, you see the trophies in the cabinet, right? Years later, someone mailed him the trophy. They had found it in the trash can. Jim said this, "Given enough time, all your trophies will be trashed by someone." Oh, dear. And that's true of our earthly trophies, isn't it? I was, memories. But I'm thinking all the things that will be thrown away that I keep holding on to, right? My son has already told me, he's, "Dad, get rid of this stuff," right? But that's a treasure. I want to hold on to that, right? I found one. This is totally unrelated. I found this little vase. I have it in my desk in my room. It's kind of behind a picture because I want to keep it, but it doesn't fit with anything. But my dad, when he was in World War II, he went into Japan after the bomb, and I'm sure he must have got this in Japan. And if you see it looks like this cute little vase, right? Like, oh, you could put a pretty flower in that. If you look at it close, it has the insignia of the enemy and it has a machine gun on this little vase. Isn't that something? You think, what are you promoting, right? Murder. But I'm holding on to that, right? Now, it's absolutely worth, I'm sure my son will probably throw it away. But somebody might pay you dollars for that if you get the right somebody, right? But we get all this stuff. I'm sure he's gonna laugh and laugh. Plus, he said, "Why did Dad keep this?" All this junk, right? But the stuff that we send on ahead to heaven, that's not junk. That won't be burned up. But we want to make sure we don't have a bunch of junk and suffer loss because we didn't invest wisely in our life. I quoted Mr. Warren, and he said this, "Death is not your termination, but your transition into eternity. So there are eternal consequences to everything you do on earth." That's a pretty powerful statement. Eternal consequences, everything. Every act of our lives strikes some chord that will reverberate in eternity. Wow. Now, think of our passage again. And this takes us back to the 2 Corinthians 5:11. And I'm sorry, excuse me. He just said whether good or bad. And then he says, therefore knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the fear of the Lord. One puts it this way. Paul is sobered by the future evaluation. He says, one writes, aware of his personal accountability, Paul strove to persuade men. That was his ministry. Of course, that's part of our ministry. It's not all of our ministry. We're all unique. But accountability. Dr. John Walford, who was the president of Dallas Seminary, now with the Lord, he said this. This fear, talking about Paul's fear, is fear of regret that his life will be revealed as one wasted and spent in selfishness rather than in devotion and obedience to Christ. So there's a right, and we're talking about a sober facing that we're going to stand before the Lord and we want to be rewarded instead of suffer loss. That's what we're talking about. I was thinking about, when I was thinking about this passage, and I just happened to be reading, I came across in 1 Peter 1:17, and it says this, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth." Now, we don't have to be shaking in our boots, but we need to take life seriously because we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus and be evaluated. And so what he's trying to do is motivate us so that we will not suffer loss. We don't want to suffer loss. We want to enter into eternity joyfully. We want to, and again, going back, We don't know how much time we have. We don't know how many moments we have. This little illustration. A preacher one night was preaching, and he says, "How many want to go to heaven?" I can just see this in my little church when I was growing up. Everybody put up his hand except one little boy. The preacher looked down and said, "Don't you want to go to heaven?" The little boy said, "Well, sure, I want to go to heaven, but I thought you were getting the load up for tonight." You think, we want to go to heaven, but am I ready? Right? Am I ready? And so anyway, let's just review this, and then we'll be done. These are some things we talked about, and I just want to add to them some practical things to think about, because I think this is what I need to do as well as just encourage all of us. I think would be helpful. First of all, we talked about this to pray. He who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. We already talked about that. I just think I need to say, God, is there anything you want me to adjust? Is there anything I need to rethink? Do I need to change something? Help God, give me wisdom. And then obviously the best place to go is to probe the word, because practices, whatever practices we have to fulfill purposes, should be based on biblical principles. So if I'm thinking about purpose, I need to think about principles. What are biblical principles that plug in to my situation that will cause me to make wise choices to fulfill my purposes? Now, just to ponder our walk, these are a few things I think we can think about. How is my maturity in the Lord? How am I doing spiritually in my maturity? I think it's just a valid question. I want to keep growing. I want to keep growing. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Doesn't ever come a point in our life when we should stop growing. You know, as long as we have our ability to think, and you know, we may not be able to get around very well, but as long as we're able to function. I was saying to Gary, I have a dear, dear friend. His name is Ralph. He's 92, and he's having a lot of he's in Nova Scotia. He's having a lot of health problems. He's having kidney problems and lung problems, and so I called him yesterday. And he's just a dear friend. We just have been good friends for a long, long time. But, you know, I think one thing I've thought about him in his life, he's made a lot of good choices. And I really respect him a lot. And I think, you know, but even there, you need to keep growing. And he doesn't have the physical capacity right now to walk or do very much. He can walk a little bit, but he's at such a low energy level. But you can still keep growing. And I think he probably is doing things to keep growing in the Lord. Now, think about this. What are our responsibilities? Now, this is by Mr. Warren again. Since I was made to last forever, this is his statement, what is one thing I should stop doing and one thing I should start doing? I thought that was an interesting question. You know, we don't have to think of 500 things. What is one thing I should stop doing and one thing I should start doing? That's a good question. This is another point. What are my opportunities? You know, every one of us have unique opportunities. We have different skills, different abilities, different connections. What are my opportunities? How does God want me to use those opportunities? We're all different, so, you know, just like Everett plugs me in, right? That's a ministry to me, right? But that's an opportunity God has given him, and then he fulfills that. That's wonderful. And everybody in this room is fulfilling ministries. Thank you. Another question. What is your gifting? I'm thinking about maybe in the days to come to do a little more work on gifting. Every one of us have a spiritual gift. This is an interesting statement. I think it's profound. In Romans 12, verse 4, it says, "For just as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." We all do not have the same function. And we have different gifts. And we should, you know, it's not cut, you know, where we're all like the same, everything's the same. We're all different. That's what that's where we give strength, because one person can do one thing, another person can do something else, and none of us can do everything. And that's the way it's designed to be. That's a good thing. But that means we're interdependent. That's why we need each other. But think, you know, what has God given me ability to do? What do I really enjoy doing? That's usually a part of a gift, that you enjoy doing it. And there's some measure of success in that. You see some measure, you know, I'm surprised, but that I actually helped that person, or I encouraged that person. But look at your gifting, because I think when, if you're in a situation where everybody's kind of jammed in to do the same thing, a lot of times people get caught doing things they're not very good at, and it's so frustrating. If you're not very good at something, that's all right. You don't have to be good at everything. But what has God given you the ability to do well? Invest in that. Don't spend your time, you know, spinning your wheels all the time on something that you're not good at. God has put you in this body for specific purposes. So think about your gifting. Ask God for your gifting. What are our desires? A lot of times God has certain desires He'll place in our heart. This is something we want, you know. We all, if we're going to go around, there's certain things we really want to accomplish or we want to do. This is my passion. You know, we all have different passions. And if they're lined up with God's word, that's a good thing. And that's part of what God wants to use you to accomplish. So think about that. Now, of course, if it's contrary to His word, then it's contrary to His will. Also, I think this is a significant thing. Think about your season. Chris, actually, my son gave me this book, and I'm starting to read it. It's a short book, so it's nice. But anyway, The Seasons of Fatherhood. Now, it talks about different seasons. And we're in different seasons, aren't we? You know, when you have little kids, like you think of the ones who have the little ones that are waking them up all time during the night, right? You say, I'm glad I'm past that season, right? I don't have the energy for that season. But now I'm in a grandpa season. So what does God want me to do in this season as a grandpa? And so God was convicting me about this, and Marty nudged me, and so I took Levi out, and we went out to Boston Pizza this week. So you know, I'm not sure that was the best place, because they had this screen of all the hockey things. So his little eyes were up on the screen, right? I say, look at me, look at me, look at me. And they'd about 3 seconds and then back up to the hockey, right? But anyway, trying to connect with this little boy, just because I'm in a different season now. I'm trying to be a grandpa. And so what's our season? Where our season is, you know, how does God want me to function in my season? And then just to pursue the Lord's will. And I think right out, ask God, so what are some specific things that I should do? I'll close. Living on purpose is the only way to really live. Everything else is just existing. Remember our passage in Philippians, for to me to live is, hopefully we can say, Christ. Christ. Let's pray. God, we just ask that you will guide us in this area. We don't know how much time we have. We don't have any moments we have. We don't have any minutes we have. Just help us use them well. Live with your purpose. Live with passion to live out for Christ. So that we can say, when we stand before Him, we'll hear Him say to us, well done, well done. That's what we long to. For us to live as Christ, may that be reality. In Jesus' precious name, amen.